What would you do with an extra 20 hours a week? How about 40? Get part-time or full-time help with a virtual assistant from The Room. Trusted by entrepreneurs, executives, even busy families. The Room's virtual assistants are trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Work smarter, delegate more, and get your time back. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to. Visit trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
That's right. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. 7-7, week three is underway between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. George Pickens just made one of those Odell Beckham type of catches that you saw on Sunday Night Football during Odell's first year up against the Dallas Cowboys. He was about to go out of bounds, and then as he was like falling down, he makes a one-handed catch. The first thing that you think of is the Odell catch. That was the closest thing, with all these one-handed catches that we've seen throughout the years, that catch by George Pickens was the closest thing, Ryan, to the Odell Beckham catch from all those years ago.
It's insane because, right, you see a lot of one-handed catches and you can kind of almost
like over the
cradle
middle,
it in.
A little fade route. This was him like falling down to go make the extension, grab the one hand like behind your head, all that. It was nuts.
It was crazy. It was so impressive. Catch of the year, honestly, so far this year.
Oh, it's 2 weeks in. This is now the third week of the season.
I'm saying so far. I didn't say, you know, the rest of the year. I said so far, catch of the year.
I don't think we'll see a better catch, though, than that this year.
It's going to be tough to top.
You may have more important catches. You will have more important catches.
I hope so.
But in terms of the athleticism and just the actual catch and not taking the importance of the catch into consideration, there will not be a better catch in football this season than that catch. And I think I could say that pretty confidently. Now, the Browns are running a reverse. Then it's back to the quarterback, and then they just dumped it off to Kareem Hunt. And it goes for a first down. Steelers-Browns, 12-12 remaining in half number one. This game all tied up at 7 apiece. I read an article today that the Washington Commanders, because I've been someone that said, why did the Commanders end up with Carson Wentz? With all the people that were available on the market, why did the Commanders end up with Carson Wentz? And not only end up with Carson Wentz, why'd they swap twos where they got the lesser of the twos and then give up 2 third-round picks where one of them is a conditional three that could turn into a two? I never got the move that the Commanders made other than our quarterback room has been awful for years and years and years. Wentz isn't great, but at one point he showed signs of being an MVP. And is that ego maybe from the coaching staff thinking, even though the Eagles couldn't do it towards the end, and even though Frank Reich, who won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia when Carson Wentz was a starting quarterback, I know he didn't do so in the actual Super Bowl, but Wentz did lead the Eagles to the one seed that year before tearing up his leg out in L.A. up against the Rams. If Frank Reich couldn't get success with Carson Wentz, why are we thinking that a third time is going to be a charm? Now, if they just signed him, or if they gave up like a 5th or a 6th-round pick, or if it was just 1 third-round draft pick, I guess you could talk me into it. But when you swap twos and then you give up 2 threes and one of those threes could become a two, I just don't think you're setting yourself up to succeed. Like you look at the Colts last year. They gave up a conditional 2 that turned into a 1. And we saw how quickly they wanted to move on after knowing that that was going to be a first-round pick because he played in, 70% of the snaps. Now, I'm cognizant that Jim Irsay was really the driving force behind Carson Wentz no longer being in Indianapolis anymore. Now, you could say, well, Wentz's play did that. I get that. And you're not wrong. And Jim Irsay made the right move, even though the Colts aren't looking like a successful team. But you couldn't go back at it again with Carson Wentz, in my opinion. So now you have Jim, who makes that move and says, we got to get rid of him. And I was shocked that a team, after seeing bad years of football, we're willing to give up that much for Carson Wentz, but you got to know that desperate teams do desperate things, and the Commanders are a desperate team with talent on that roster. They just don't have a quarterback, and you see Carson Wentz, if you either have a quarterback or don't have a quarterback in the league, I don't think many people realistically believe that Wentz is going to be a franchise guy, but to just have that guy be a guy and give up that much when there were other options available, and I know with hindsight 2020, we didn't know Baker Mayfield was going to become available at the time, and I know Baker Mayfield's 0-2, but I'd rather have Baker Mayfield than Carson Wentz. You look around, yeah, you didn't know necessarily all the guys that were going to become available, but I think it was pretty clear at the end of last season that Trey Lance was going to be the starting quarterback in San Francisco, and the only way he was going to be taken off the field was because of injury, and that's the way that it played out. Now, in this article, it said the 49ers believe Jimmy G would be traded to the Commanders, and that changed once Jimmy Garoppolo had the surgery and then wasn't going to be able to throw a football until August. So for you, Ryan, since you are a resident Colts fan on this show, would you agree with that sentiment that it was Jim Irsay who was the driving force with Carson Wentz no longer being there? And if it was up to Frank Reich, Frank probably would have stuck around with Carson for another season?
Probably, yeah. But it was definitely, without a doubt, Jim Irsay was the one to get out of town. He was done.
Cade York just missed another extra point.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that crazy? It just shows you how bad the luck is for the Carolina Panthers. You have this kicker that drills a 58-yard field goal in week one when you need to win that game. The next week, he misses the extra point. I don't want to say it started the comeback because there was a lot of other problems with the Browns in that game, but he missed an extra point that would have put him up by 14. And now today, I almost combined today and tonight there. Tonight, Cade York misses another extra point. Kicking is the most week-by-week thing probably in this country, in the history of this country. One week you love a kicker, the next week you can't stand him, and the week after that he's out of a job. But when we get back to the whole Commanders and Colts deal, you're saying that, yes, Frank Reich probably would have kept him?
Probably. Sure, he would have given him a second chance.
Are you starting to regret it?
No.
No.
Not at all.
You were done with Carson.
Yes.
Dunzo, not even right now, and Matt Ryan's throwing three interceptions against the Jaguars, and your team's all 1-1, and Carson Wentz beat the Jaguars. Nothing that makes you say, yeah, maybe we should have Carson back.
No. No regrets so far. I like Matty Ice.
What do you like?
Well, nothing right now, but I'm hoping I think he's better than what he's shown so far.
Yeah, well, his offensive line sucks.
It does.
Right now. Michael Pittman out with an injury. Do you think they have any shot this week to beat Kansas City?
No. Maryland confidence?
I've been brutal picking games. I'll get to your confidence in a second. I've been brutal picking games.
Which means?
I don't get how you don't lay the points this week of 5.5 with Kansas City. If Patrick Mahomes can't beat the Colts by 7 points, I don't want to hear all the mea culpas that people have been issuing the last 2 weeks with the Kansas City Chiefs and what they said in the offseason and what they've been saying the first 2 weeks of the season. You cannot lose to the Colts. You know what? This is a gotta have it game for the Kansas City Chiefs. You can't lose it. You can't lose
can't
it.
Lose.
You know what? There's good teams. Good teams win games. Great teams cover. The Chiefs are a great team. They gotta cover this week. They gotta. Now, what's your only optimism?
My only optimism is that everyone is on the Chiefs. You know, sometimes when you get everyone on one team. They're all on the Chiefs. Giving the Colts no chance. Maybe. I'm in that group, by the way, giving the Colts no chance.
Yeah.
Maybe we not overlook the Colts, but they surprise us.
So you want to know when I was screwed last week when I said that I take the Colts -3.5 up against the Jaguars? I saw the graphic from an Indianapolis radio station that it was all Colts, 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 Colts. And the moment I said that, I go, oh, that will end up in Old Takes Exposed. But this week, if it's all Chiefs, 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 I will not have any skepticism about the Kansas City Chiefs winning this game. The only way the Chiefs lose this game is if Mahomes gets hurt. It's the only way. You got a bad football team.
Or St. Elmo's serves some bad shrimp. Be a real shame. Hate to see that.
Oh, I will go down to Indianapolis.
That would be really bad.
Would then eat a good meal at St. Elmo's and then beat the living snot out of the chef afterwards if he's going to sabotage me. I need a winning week this week. It just has to happen.
I need a win. So whatever it takes. Indy's all in, all right? It doesn't matter. You know, if the team can't get it done, someone else has to get it done.
But if your optimism is, oh, everyone is on the Kansas City Chiefs, you really have no optimism for this game.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're going to lose by 14 points.
That works.
31-17.
I've never rooted for one of your predictions to be more right. I hope this prediction is
let's go, St. Elmo's. Do the right thing.
Would you rather have Jimmy G, who I'm not a big fan of, than Carson Wentz?
Yes.
If you're the Commanders.
Yes.
Now, if Jimmy G was on the Commanders, and I've been clear, I think Jimmy G's an above-average quarterback. Jimmy G could win games. I don't think you'll ever look at Jimmy G as a top 10 quarterback. I don't think Jimmy G is a great quarterback. I don't even think Jimmy G is a very, very, very good quarterback. If Jimmy G was on the Commanders this year, and let's say Carson Wentz was still in Indianapolis torturing you each and every Sunday, which, let's be real, doesn't matter who the Colts bring in at quarterback, they just get tortured once Peyton Manning has left. Like, you had luck. Luck looked like he was going to be great. Injuries. Phillip Rivers was better than advertised, but you knew it was a 1 year, and that was it. Then Carson Wentz, disaster. Matt Ryan so far, ugly. If the Commanders had Jimmy G, how would we be talking about the Commanders right now?
I think it's a playoff team.
I agree with that. I would have picked them as one of my wild card teams. I probably would have picked them as the seventh team to get into the postseason, and I probably would have put them in front of the Dallas Cowboys. I like the Commanders roster. Scary Terry's great. You have Jahan Dotson, who I've been a big fan of. I like Curtis Samuel when healthy. Defensively, you're getting Chase Young back at some point. The defense, underratedly, the defense has not been as good as we thought it was going to be the last 2 years. And I'm surprised they brought Jack Del Rio back this offseason. This is a major year for Jack Del Rio, and so far, the returns for this Commanders defense have been ugly. Very ugly. Like, Jacksonville did a nice job on you. Then last week, you're down to a 22-0 start right out of the gate. When I thought the Commanders were going to win last week. I never think Carson Wentz is going to win. I thought they were going to win last week, and that defense got shredded early on against Jared Goff. I know Amon-Ra St. Brown is a stud, but this Commanders defense, where we thought it was going to be, remember that year when they went, what, 7-9 and won that division, the NFC East at the time? That defense has regressed last year, and it's not looking like it's getting any better this year. But if you put a more competent quarterback on that team in a conference that is not great this year, Ryan, I do think they could go win 9 games this year, 10 games this year, if Jimmy G was the quarterback of the Washington Commanders.
And that will get you in. Like, yeah. I'm with you. I think they're better than the Cowboys if they have Jimmy G.
Yeah, especially now with the Dak injury, right, too, like, and not knowing when Dak is going to come back.
Right.
It looks like it's going to be earlier than when first reported, but yeah.
I know the injury is tough because he couldn't throw all offseason, so it's kind of tough to commit, but it's like, man, the Commanders, man, you didn't have to rush into Carson Wentz. That's the thing, too. They rushed into it for really no reason.
You know what I'm just thinking about right now? We're going back to the Colts and all the problems that your team has had trying to find the quarterback post-Peyton Manning. Would you have been okay? And I know you were a big Carson Wentz guy at the time. If Phillip Rivers wanted to play another year, would you have been okay giving Phillip Rivers another year? Because I think he wanted to play, but the Colts didn't want to bring him back, which was, I get it, he's older, you weren't winning a Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers, but Phillip Rivers had a better year in Indianapolis than a lot of people thought.
Hindsight, yes, I would like Phillip Rivers to be back in 2021. In the moment, I was happy he retired. One and done. I was kind of done with Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, but Carson, geez.
Well, that's why I say hindsight, because you look at see how last year went. Oh, yeah, you know, I'd love to have Phillip Rivers back if that's what you're going to get from Carson Wentz.
Now, here's my question. At the end of this year with the Commanders, are the Commanders going to move on after 1 year? Well, after this year, will they say, yeah, that's it, turn out the lights, the party's over, just like Indianapolis did? Now, we know Dan Snyder is a crazy owner.
and I don't mean that in a good way, but Ron Rivera does seem to be like a man of patience. And I don't think anyone went into this year having high expectations for the Washington Commanders or even thought the Commanders were going to be a playoff team with Carson Wentz at quarterback. So at the end, is Carson Wentz week one next year, is he starting for the Washington Commanders?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
Hmm.
Now, I don't think he'll be good this year, but I think yes with a caveat. I do think they will draft someone in the first round next year. And then Carson Wentz, Mr. Rabbit Ears, will be thrown out there once again. Which you thought I was going to tell you Carson Wentz was going to be back and it was going to be, he was going to start 17 games and it was all going to be great. It was all going to be a nice, warm, great story. No. Carson Wentz is going to show once again what happens when people doubt Carson Wentz. As was that a Trubisky rushing touchdown? Yes,
that it was.
Look at that.
Mitchie Wheels.
And now it's 13-all pending the extra point. Then it could be 14-13. But I do think they'll take a quarterback in the first round. And then Carson probably starts like the first four, five, six games of the year and then gets replaced. That's what I think happens. Oh, he may be down. Was he touched? Before he falls, yeah, he was touched. I think that's going to be down at the half yard line. Do you get a better look at that? That's just that touchdown?
I think it's the ball's right on the line. I think he's in. I think it's bang, bang, did that knee elbow down.
Hit? Did the elbow hit?
I saw the knee. I don't think the elbow hit.
Oh, he puts his hand down.
The right
that elbow
knee,
doesn't
yeah.
hit. Oh, that's close.
I think they knee ruled was it a down touchdown. Right as the ball was over the line. They did rule it a touchdown.
So I thought at first that left hand was an elbow, but it was the left hand that was down. His elbow never hit. And then when you get to the right side of the body, the ball is right there. The question just becomes when that knee does hit the ground. So we'll see if this touchdown will stand 13-13 right now with 3:50 to go in the first half between the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Here we go. Here's the angle. Is that knee down? Ooh, yeah, that replay. I think he's down. That's really close. They say it counts. Yeah, they're going to say that counts. So let's see if the extra point is going to be good. It is up. And it's through. Steelers 14, Browns 13. More points than you would have thought here in the first half, hot take.
Said 13-10 final.
So. You said that?
Yeah. I got crushed that one.
Yeah. Man, we're great at predicting games here on this show. Look at us right now. It's like that GIF online. Zach Gilb, show CBS Sports Radio.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who develop this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You know, I'm all fired up for this Michigan Wolverines season. I think Michigan's going to be undefeated before that game against Ohio State. I think Ohio State is going to be undefeated before that game in the horseshoe up against Michigan, the game on Thanksgiving weekend. Hot take, Kiki, would you agree with that? Ohio State undefeated going into the Michigan game and Michigan undefeated going into the Ohio State game.
I would not agree with that, no.
Whoa! Where's the loss coming?
For Michigan, I think they lose to Michigan State. And I'm not sold right now they beat both Penn State and Iowa.
Really?
I want to see it from Michigan.
Iowa's offense stinks.
I get it. It's not very good.
Now, what makes you think that? I know Harbaugh has struggled up against Michigan State, but Michigan State just lost to Washington, who I like Michael Penix. I know that's a sensitive subject for you because he beat Penn State. And I like Kalen DeBoer, who's been on the show before. But if Michigan State couldn't beat Washington, what makes you think that they're going to go into the Big House and beat Michigan? Other than the fact that you're just the Michigan hater.
Well, Michigan State is plenty times been not very good and has beaten Michigan. So it's not like they have to be good. Like in 2020, I get to, okay, fine, 2020, whatever. But go that Michigan here. State game was not very good. They went into Michigan and won the game. So it's not per se you have to have a good Michigan State team in order to beat Michigan. They just can't beat them consistently.
And last year, Michigan was dominating until Kenneth Walker just said, yeah, checkmate, I'm going to go win the game.
Make a play.
Is Ohio State going to be undefeated before that Michigan game?
Yes.
Okay. I think you've been a little bit disrespectful to the Wolverines.
Really?
That's just me. I'm believing in J.J. McCarthy. I think they're better at quarterback this year. Do they lose Hutchinson and Ojabo? Yes. But the speed on this offense this year is electric. And even Urban Meyer has noticed that speed. Urban Meyer does not give compliments. He doesn't even say Michigan. Yes, cupcake games, the first three games of the season, but he's been very complimentary, Urban Meyer, already about this Michigan offense.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm not taking anything for what they've done the first 3 weeks. They've played Little Sisters of the Poor. They played a JV football team, I think, and like directional South Carolina U. Like, so I know they've smoked
Colorado
them all
State,
three.
Hawaii, and UConn. Can we show some respect
three
to those schools
worst,
in college football, you elitist?
Worst teams in college football. Let's see. Look,
but the
Maryland
Big Ten
is not even
sucks.
A real test.
Other than Ohio State and then also Michigan this year, the Big Ten is not good this year. You disagree with that?
No, elite. No. Yeah. I don't say it's elite. No.
They're just not good
this year.
Ohio State
and everyone else. But also, too, Michigan outside of last year has never shown an ability to consistently beat even the middle tier teams.
I'm not saying that it's a lock that Michigan's going to beat Ohio State this year. But to say that it's Ohio State and then everybody else, with the way that Michigan just dominated Ohio State last year, I know they lose Hutchinson and Ojabo, but they have now passed the baton to J.J. McCarthy and Cade McNamara's hurt. To just think that's going to be a walk in the park for the Wolverines. The Wolverines are automatically going to the Big Ten championship game, and they will have no competition. That I don't really agree.
Well, it's like with J.J. McCarthy, what is he? I have no idea. He's a highly touted prospect. He's played Connecticut well. He beat Hawaii. Okay, that's something. But it's like, is he actually a good quarterback? I have no idea. I can't tell you that.
But you're ready to tell me that Drew Aller is the next stud and that Penn State's going to win the national championship in 2024.
2024,
yeah. Yeah, which you told me. Yeah, but you haven't really seen him play all that much.
Oh, I've seen him play. He looks good.
You haven't seen him play that much?
Seen him play.
But you have not seen him play that much.
Yeah, okay.
You've seen J.J. McCarthy play more than Drew Aller.
I mean,
yes.
Barely. But you're also asking J.J. McCarthy to play well this year. There's no developmental period. This is just you're jumping right into the fire. Okay, I don't know what to expect.
By the way, it is funny how we're dumping a little bit on the Big Ten outside of Michigan and Ohio State, and you look at the Big Ten East, only one team has suffered a loss in the Big Ten East so far to this season. That's Michigan State. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that. I figured Rutgers have a loss in there somewhere.
They almost lost to Temple if it wasn't for an Elijah Warner pick six. But Rutgers is 3-0. Ohio State's 3-0. Michigan's 3-0. Maryland's 3-0. Penn State, 3-0. I know you know that one. And Tom Allen with Indiana. 3-0.
Nice one over Illinois a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, is the Big Ten back? I don't know. You tell me. I mean, that's a lot of zeros in the loss column.
Now, you didn't ask me about the Big Ten West.
Well, that's...
Northwestern 1-2. Row the boat with P.J. Fleck in Minnesota 3-0. Iowa 2-1. And we'll see if Iowa could go actually score some points this year.
Yeah, for real.
Wisconsin 2-1, Illinois 2-1, Purdue 1-2, Nebraska 1-3.
Yeah,
a little bit of a difference between the East and the West.
Tiny bit.
Because you have the two top dogs in the Big Ten East, Michigan and Ohio State. I wish that was the Big Ten championship.
Ten East is too loaded.
I wish they played on that Thanksgiving weekend, and then we just took the two best teams in the conference and play them again in the Big Ten championship.
I agree, and that's the direction most conferences are heading. So. We'll get that wish sooner rather than later.
Well, anyway, why am I asking you about all these opinions on Michigan football? And I think this is going to make you want to throw up, by the way. I've told you my two best friends did attend Michigan. I've been to multiple games in the Big House. I have watched so many Michigan football games. I have made a purchase so I could fit in when I go to a few Michigan bars this year. I have bought a military camo Michigan sweatshirt. Your thoughts on that?
How are they going to see him?
Yeah, you'll be able to see
him. I don't know. You're in camo. Friends won't be able to see you.
Trust me. I'm a large man. You'll be able to see me.
I don't know. Where's Zach, guys? I don't see him.
No one starts to play Where's Waldo when Zach Gelb comes walking into a small bar. They usually just run in the other direction and go, this large man's going to take up a lot of space. Anyway, enough about getting Hickey's opinions on Michigan, which is just his hatred for Michigan. Let's listen up to Blake Corum, who had 5 rushing touchdowns last week, which tied a school record for Michigan. And I asked him, he was on that Michigan team last year, if the Michigan team in 2022 is better than the team that just won a Big Ten championship in 2021.
I think this team is better. I really do. I think we have weapons all over the place. Obviously, you know, we're missing some great players from last year, but, you know, guys have stepped up, you know what I'm saying, especially on the offensive side. You know what I'm saying? Roman Wilson's going crazy. You know, Ronnie Bell's back. You know, the offensive line is great. Added some new additions with Olu. Defense, you know, they're doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? Guys are stepping up. Mike Morris, Chris Jenkins, you know, the junior. And then you got, you know, in the back end, Makari Page, you know what I'm saying, DJ at corner. You know, there's so many guys on the team that can just – that are just good ball players. I don't think we missed a step. You know, I think we actually took a step forward, and I think we are better.
So there you go. That's for Michigan running back Blake Corum. I was a little bit surprised last night, Hickey, that he said he thinks this team is better than last year's team. Just because, not that he's necessarily wrong, but usually, right, the player in the moment that was a part of a championship team that's also a leader, you would usually expect the typical answer from the athlete of, we have a lot of potential, we can be better, but we got to prove it first. How about yourself on that?
I like that. That would have been a measured take, especially, again, considering the right now the opponents you played are no one, so it's hard to kind of see exactly what you are when there hasn't been any competition to measure up so far, especially when the bar is set so high last year when you make the College Football Playoff and one of the 4 best teams in the country. But if he's right, this team should be right back where they were last year.
Breaking news, this has just officially come down. We know that Ime Udoka was reportedly going to get suspended for the entire season. The Celtics have not issued a statement all throughout the day. They leaked this report to Adrian Wojnarowski. All we know is allegedly Ime Udoka had a consensual relationship with a female staff member inside the Celtics organization. And how I opened up the show today was discussing that what the punishment is doesn't really make sense to me for a year-long suspension when this is team-issued, not league-issued. If all we know so far is that he just had a consensual relationship inside the organization, I get it. He has a big-time job, gets paid a whole lot of money, and if you have someone working underneath him or underneath him in the organization, that could always potentially create some problems. But if this is a consensual relationship and there was nothing else that happened here, then you wonder, why is he being suspended for a year? You could only speculate because the Celtics really haven't given you much information on this. And I said maybe, just maybe, don't have any information on this to be true, maybe he slept with someone's wife in the organization that also, like someone higher up in the organization, that wife also does something with the organization, and maybe that strikes a nerve. Because to spend the guy a year for just having a consensual relationship with someone else in the organization that's a female worker, that doesn't scream to me as a team going out of their way to suspend a coach that just took the team to the finals for a full season. But the Boston Celtics have now officially announced that Ime Udoka has been suspended, and this is all they wrote. The Boston Celtics announced today that the team has suspended head coach Ime Udoka for the 2022-2023 season for violations of team policies. A decision about his future with the Celtics beyond this season will be made at a later date. The suspension takes effect immediately. Now, when you read the last 2 sentences there, a decision about his future with the Celtics beyond this season will be made at a later date. The suspension takes effect immediately. I think they're going to try to either do a few things here. One, mutually agree to part ways, or if Ime Udoka is not going to mutually agree to part ways, or Ime Udoka from Chris Haynes is not willing to resign right now, then I think ultimately the Boston Celtics will fire. But it has to be something else to this story, because it does not make sense to me why the coach is suspended an entire year if all it was a consensual relationship with a female member a staff member of the organization. And quite frankly, the Celtics need to be a little bit, they need to provide some more clarity here. And I wonder if they're going to hold the press conference. But when they say that a decision will be made at a later date of his future, makes me think that Ime Udoka, who was just in the NBA Finals, has coached his final game with the Boston Celtics. Now, when I'm sometimes confused about some things, or I'm wondering if there's something more to this story, or maybe I'm just missing the mark here, I go to El Capitan, Marco Belletti. You know, he is our wise owl here at CBS Sports Radio. He is our leader, and he's gone through a lot of crap in life. That's just nice words of me saying that Marco's old, pretty much.
Yep.
Or older than me, and older than Ryan. Year-long suspension for just having a consensual relationship with a female staff member in the organization? Seems like we're missing something here.
There's definitely something else there.
Yeah.
Look, I would love to say that the Celtics are the first in a long line now that we're going to stop with all this nonsense and everybody's going to be held accountable. And if you're in a position of power, you cannot be doing these types of things because it can open up a can of I don't buy it.
Yeah.
There's no way. And also with that last two sentences, you hit it on the head. There is no way that Udoka is going to coach another game for the Celtics. It's a question of, can we not have to pay him the full amount of whatever's remaining on his contract? That's all that is. He's not going to resign because he's not going to walk away on his own, which is what we wanted. So we're going to suspend him because we need to stop this now. But we got to figure out a way to not pay him the entire remainder of his contract.
Because if this is just, hey, don't have relationships with a subordinate in the organization, I think there's a way to work through this and not suspend a coach that's pretty popular with your team that just took you to the final. I'm just going to go out on a limb and hope I'm not naive here. I think there's a way with how much crap we don't know that's going on behind the scenes in these teams and that gets swept under the rug that we don't know and there could be tell-all books about. You could work around that. And that's, I just keep on going back to it. And I have no proof on it. But this just screams to me that it's something personal, that maybe the person that's involved here, which in a weird way has a relationship with someone else already that's a higher up.
Not only can you work around it, we would never know about
exactly.
it. Exactly. There is
this
no
is not a
reason.
League suspension. This is a team suspension.
There is no reason for us to know this unless they wanted us to know this.
And they wanted you to know it.
And I don't. So obviously there's something more there. Why do you want us to know this other than to embarrass Udoka? Because there's something there. There's some reason as to why you want us. I mean, forget the Neil Long aspect or whatever. Yeah. Now we're
Which
going
he's
down.
An idiot for.
No, but we're going down a rabbit hole that, like, you know what? Look.
Yeah.
We don't know everything that goes on in everybody's personal life, and you know what? Good, because we shouldn't know everything that's going on in everybody's personal life. But this seems like there's so much more behind it, and it does, I think you hit it, it feels almost personal. Why do we want to embarrass Udoka unless the Celtics are annoyed with whatever happened in this situation?
And I think the Celtics grossly miscalculated what the reaction was going to be, because they leaked this to Woj. And then maybe they thought they could pressure Udoka into resigning because maybe there was going to be outrage here. But I don't think in 2022 there's going to be outrage if all it is there was a consensual relationship. If there was something wrong, if Udoka did something wrong to the woman or something like that, then there would have been outrage. But just a consensual relationship in the workplace, this is not 1945 anymore. There's a lot of workplaces where there's relationships going on consensually.
Yeah, it was happening then too. But again, it was the idea that we weren't going to know about it.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't know then, we shouldn't know now, but it also shouldn't be happening. I don't want to, you know, go glaze over that. You shouldn't be doing this. If you're in a position of power, you shouldn't have those types of relationships, when, especially when you're already married. Whatever. But again, I don't want to
get into your... don't know who the woman is.
Right. But still, if you're in a position of power, you shouldn't be inside a relationship with somebody that you work with that's beneath you on the ladder. It opens up problems that you don't need. If you're a franchise, but it's not something where you suspend the guy for a year. That's where you sit him down in the office and you go, are you serious? Like, do we really need to do? It's almost like you got to go through PR training. Like, we don't want this out. We don't want this as the image for our organization. Yeah. You're not doing what you should be doing. But this is more of a... You know, I hate to say it, but this is more of a slap on the wrist. I mean, look at Robert Sarver. I mean, he was going through a one-year suspension through the league. I get it. For 20 years worth of things that he shouldn't have been doing. This is just an image problem for the team.
I know, different sport. Deshaun Watson gets suspended less games than than Emile Udoka is going to. I don't want to set you off because I know that, that
another
annoys you.
Filthy, you know, like situation that we don't want to go down. But again, this is not in the grand scheme of things the worst thing you can do, but it's not something you should be doing. This is more of, to me, a conversation starter and something where we can learn from it and move on, not
and even if,
part ways.
Even if, let's just say your boss went up to you and said, hey, stop sleeping with that girl. And you said, nah, okay, boss, yeah, no problem. And you still sleep with that girl. If you're successful as a coach, 9.9 times out of 10, even though your boss tells you to do something, there's a way that you still work around it if you are worth potentially adding to a championship for Boston, which he proved they increased their odds last year. So that's why I think there has to be something personal here, which I don't know who the girl is, but that girl has to have a relationship with someone that's a higher up in the Celtics organization. That's my best guess.
I mean, look, if that's a, I'd like to think if you have like a point of ego and pride, if you're talking about like a, you know, an owner or somebody that's sitting you down and saying, look, I told you not to do this. Now you've flat out basically lied to my face and told me to go to hell. You know what? I'm not standing for that. Good for you if you're standing on that platform. I just don't believe you. I don't. You've got to show me that that's the reason why you're doing this. I hate to say it, but I mean, I think we all are. We're all skeptical of everything, right? We all kind of assume everybody can get away with so much. Prove to me that that's the reason why you're doing this, that you're actually standing on good morals. I'll applaud and listen. I just don't buy it.
Now, for example, let's say if, and I know we got to take a break, like Spike Eskin said to me, hey, Zach, I don't want you talking about this. And I said, you know what? I know it's good for ratings. I'm going to talk about something. And I talked about it. And then Spike didn't like it. Mm-hmm. If the success of the show is there, you could probably gloss over that. Mm-hmm. But then if I got on the radio and said, bleep this family member of Spike Eskin's family, that then gets personal and then maybe makes him do a move that goes, you know what? I don't care what your ratings are. Like, just like how maybe someone in the higher up the said, I don't care if you're helping us win game. You did something that personally offended me and personally hurt me. So now you're screwed because of the person that it was going on with.
No, that could be. And again, there's a line. I mean, Howard Stern built a career on this, right? I mean, how many times did they tell him not to do things and he did it anyway? Mm. But if everything's there. So there is a line. Success will allow you to push that line.
I probably should have used a different talk show host. Well, I'm just,
there is, I mean, you know what I mean?
And Jim Rome does it.
But you got to be careful because there is a line to cross. I get it. I just don't, to me, there's more here because it's not enough. Like, there's got to be a long standing. He's only there a year as the head coach. Like, it's.
And they just went to the finals.
Yeah, there's something that we're missing.
Yeah.
And that's fine if we don't know, but then you shouldn't have leaked the information that you've already leaked. Unless it was coming from Udoka, who was like, this is ridiculous, and it came from him. It's possible. I don't know. Maybe because he realized, you know what? I'm really not doing anything that's big a deal. So maybe it could be coming from his side. It's the only thing that makes a little bit more sense, unless the Celtics are going to come forward and let you know all the details, and that's a slippery slope because you better be right. You better be right, because you're going to lose public opinion if you're wrong in that spot.
Ready to improve your bottom line? The Room can match you with a top financial analyst. Trusted by small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs, The Room's virtual financial analysts are highly trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Drive business growth with a virtual financial analyst from The Room. It's like listening to all the financial podcasts rolled into one. Get started today at trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's start things off with Josh Allen. The Bills quarterback said earlier today that he loves watching, after he plays football, NFL Sunday Red Zone with Scott Hansen. I'm glad to note that Josh Allen knows how to pick his Red Zone host and doesn't go with the other guy that hosts Red Zone that looks like the Browns mascot, Brownie the Elf. Give a stock up to Josh Allen. 15 years ago, Mike Gundy had this rant.
Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. Don't write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true. And then to say that we made that decision because Donovan Woods, because he threatened to transfer, that's not true. So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades him and belittles him and you have to look him in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay. They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
That and then the Dan Hawkins, it's Division I football! Go play in a murals, brother. Go play in a murals, brother. Are my two favorite rants of all time when it comes to college coaches. Stock up to Mike Gundy. Happy 15-year anniversary. JPP, back in the NFL, signing with the Baltimore Ravens. Give him a stock up. And let's hear from Shane Beamer. He highlights the good fourth quarters that South Carolina has played in the most pathetic fashion possible.
We had ups and downs last year, but I want to say that we won the fourth quarter and I think it was 10 of 12 games, maybe, you know, so we just continue to get better and we don't worry about the score and we just keep playing. So that was the message in that huddle on Saturday afternoon.
Now, that was a coach who's getting a lot of hype before this year. They were 7-6 last year, very good season. The year before that, he wasn't there. They were 2-8. This year, they started off 1-2, and now you're talking about the fourth quarters you won? Just the fourth quarters after you get off to some slow starts? Yeah, that's a bad job by Shane Beamer. Stock down. And that is the closing bell for today. Before we get on out of here, we just told you about this in the last segment, that the Boston Celtics have officially suspended Ime Udoka for the entire 2022-2023 season. The Boston Celtics announced today that the team has suspended head coach Ime Udoka for the 2022-2023 season for violations of team policies. A decision about his future with the Celtics beyond this season will be made at a later date. The suspension takes effect immediately. So that's what they said. Now, the allegation or what he may have done is had a consensual relationship with someone inside the organization. Ime Udoka has just released a statement, and we'll read this quickly. He says, I want to apologize to our players, fans, the entire Celtics organization, and my family for letting them down. I'm sorry for putting the team in this difficult situation, and I accept the team's decision out of respect for everyone involved. I will have no further comment. Yeah, we're not being told something here. We're just not. Over just a consensual relationship, there's got to be something more that did transpire here. That's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Donovan McNabb for joining us today. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. Good to have you back producing this extravaganza. And we'll be back on a Football Friday tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. Talk manana. Right now, Steelers 14, Browns 13. Second half just underway. Bye-bye. Peace.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.